Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, full of possibilities. A chance to start fresh, wipe the slate clean. Another chance to do things you've always wanted to do. 1 year equals 365 possibilities. And hey, this is a leap year, so you actually have 366. I've said, written, text, and bitmojied Happy New Year to everyone I've come in contact with. I'm sure you've done the same. And I've heard the quintessential resolutions. This is going to be the best year yet. I wish you nothing but the best. Health and prosperity for all. How can you maintain this momentum after the party's over? Let's look at ways to go beyond the resolution. So, how many times have you used the start of a new year to give you the momentum to make it over the hump? It's electric. Everyone stays up late. In some cases, champagne is flowing, glitz, glam, music, party favors, and even a countdown. Sounds like the right recipe, right? Well, the clock strikes 12, and there are hugs and kisses and high fives. We made it! We made it through another year. Brought it to a close, move the calendar forward, and now we have a chance to do something new. January 2nd, of course. I don't think any of us are fooling ourselves to think goals are put into action at noon on the day after a mind-blowing holiday like NYE. That day is for sleeping in, reflecting, eating some ham and beans, and getting ready to get ready. By then, however, you have your resolution in mind. What are you going to do differently from the start? A goal to jumpstart your year. What's yours? How and when do you determine your New Year's resolution? How Stuff Works reports some 4,000 years ago, Babylonians rang in their New Year with an 11-day festival in March. And ancient Egyptians celebrated the advent of their new calendar during the Nile River's annual flood. By 46 BC, Roman Emperor Julius Caesar had moved the first day of the year to Jan 1 in honor of the Roman god of beginnings, Janus. And an idea that took some time to catch on. The first half of New Year's Day in Rome would have been taken up by public ceremonies, oath-taking, and temple sacrifices. Some New Year's Eve celebrations look kind of similar. While the second half of the day was for social activities, citizens would bring each other gifts of honey, pear, and other sweets as presents for a sweet new year. However, in 1582, Pope Gregory XIII brought the Jan 1 New Year back in vogue with the Georgian calendar, a concept that persists today. The origin of making New Year's resolutions rests with the Babylonians, who reportedly made promises to the gods in hopes they'd earn good favor in the coming year. Life Science says New Year's resolutions have become a secular tradition, and most Americans who make them now focus on self-improvement. The U.S. government even maintains a website of those looking for tips on achieving some of the most popular resolutions, like losing weight, volunteering more, stopping smoking, eating better, getting out of debt, and saving money. 44% of respondents in a national survey said they plan to make resolutions. The most popular resolutions were to be a better person, that was 12% of the respondents, and to lose weight, that was also 12%. Exercising more, eating healthier, and getting a better job had a three-way tie at 9% each. People hoping to slim down or moving up the corporate ladder may not realize it, but they are engaging in a tradition that has ancient origins. According to Mental Floss, Google launched a resolution map in 2012 where people could add resolutions and see others adding theirs in real time. However, no matter how many people participated in Google's project, the numbers are bleak when it comes to the number of people who maintain their resolutions. Only 9.2% of people are successful in sticking them out. Here's some of the most popular resolutions. Some of these might be yours. So I hope you have your pen and paper out and you're writing a resolution. We already talked about writing a visualization statement, something that you can put as a goal to see yourself doing in the future. But let's talk about these resolutions. Lose weight, eat healthier, get organized, save more money, quit smoking, enjoy life. That's pretty subjective. Spend more quality time with close friends and family. Get and stay healthy. Learn something new. Help others pursue their goals. Find love. This weekend, I witnessed a family celebrating theirs together and toasting after each one. One was to travel more. Another one was to finish a project. Another one was to take a class. But the best was the mother who wanted to lose 20 pounds. And she was willing to give each person $500 if she missed the goal. I almost spoke up to get a piece of that action. 9.2%, remember? My odds are pretty good. What crazy resolutions and conditions have you made? What is your normal time limit? Do you usually go a couple weeks, 60 days, 90 days? Are you able to stick it out for 6 months? Matt and I make annual goals with quarterly targets. We do this with a lot of thought and not toasting it at midnight. I have a journal book that I keep our year-end list and goals for next year. It's so fun to check things off and see how much you've actually accomplished and then brainstorm about what's next. Our goals have more to do with developing our businesses, but could include things like meet new people, read more books, like set a goal for how many books, how often, or travel to a destination. I know better than to profess a grand weight loss attempt or even to increase my workout. Or for me, it's just to start working out. Fail. I have done the looser ones and the more broad versions like get more exercise and eat healthier. See how big that is? So subjective. But if you squint, I might have accomplished that one. Last year, it was to stop feeling guilty about not wanting to do those things. I'm actually close to mastering that one. CNN Health says, while about 40% of Americans set resolutions around January 1, about 40% to 44% of them will be successful at 6 months, says University of Scranton psychology professor John C. Norcross, reporting his results from multiple studies with colleagues. But if you believe in yourself, you are 10 times more likely to change via a New Year's resolution compared to non-resolvers when both groups have comparable goals and motivation. Here are a few ways to build a solid foundation. First, make it specific. Eating better and exercising more are all nice ideas, but they're too general and they don't give you a plan of action. People often think they lack motivation when the problem is really a lack of clarity. This is something James Clear talks about in his book, Atomic Habits. The simple way to apply this strategy to your habits is to fill out this sentence. I will, and then stick in a behavior at what time, make it specific, in what location. So I will do what at what time, where. If you want to eat better, be specific. Resolve to add a fruit or a vegetable to your lunch every day. Limit fast food to once a week or have dessert once a week only. Also, make it possible. Avoid resolutions that sound great but are unattainable. In fact, make them something you will enjoy. They can still be hard, but that doesn't mean they have to make you miserable. To eat better, put that bowl of fruit right next to your lunch bag so you can grab an apple or an orange every day. Hate apples? Then don't pick apples. That's too hard to do. Pick a fruit you're likely to eat. To exercise more, you might want to run more. But if you're a night person, don't make it harder on yourself by trying to run every morning before work. This was a tip by Gretchen Rubin. She is the author of The Happiness Project. Instead, do it after work. Want to meditate? Great. Ruben hates meditating, so she stopped doing it altogether. It's okay to experiment and then stop doing things because you don't like it. Know who you are and who you're not, she says. Allow yourself to fail. Everyone screws up. Expect to have an occasional slip-up. But don't let that occasional missed exercise class or Friday workplace donut throw you off. Most successful resolvers slip in January, but 71% of successful resolvers say their first slip strengthened their efforts through a combination of guilt, increasing awareness, or the severity of the slip reminding them to refine their plans. If you know you're walking into a high-pressured situation, practice saying no thanks. Maybe no thanks to your aunt's apple pie in advance. Or tell yourself there's going to be sweets. Maybe leave before dessert's served. Even people who don't like apple pie sometimes still eat it when offered in a polite way, right? Instead, practicing no thank you. And if you do slip, focus on getting back on track, not the slip. The people who show more compassion for themselves are more likely to get back on the horse and try again. The point is, be strategic. If you're not in a position to have a really strong willpower, you may want to remove yourself from those situations until you've built up a little more resistance. That's a great way to set yourself up for success. If you're resolved to spend less time on your phone, but you grab it as soon as you wake up, put your phone in another room at night. Oh, it's your alarm, you say? Well, buy an alarm clock. They cost $6. I actually started doing this myself a month or so ago. It really helped, and I like to go to bed and maybe read or watch some TV, and so I don't have to get up and go put my phone up. I just put it up in my office before I go to bed. Boy, I have gone to bed and maybe had the last 2 hours before I actually fell asleep without my phone. It is so freeing. And then when I get up in the morning, it is not the first thing I grab. Really, really makes a difference. And believe me, I don't rush to the phone and there aren't gazillions of text messages waiting for me. I think that's all in our mind. If you want to limit sweets, get them out of your house. Stay away from your workplace break room during snack time or birthday cake. You know they always bring in those birthday cakes. Not that I'm speaking from any personal experience, mind you. How about know yourself? Decide the type of person you want to be, a healthy person, a strong person, a writer, a musician. Then prove it to yourself with small wins over time. Gym classes, weightlifting, writing, practicing. Every time you do something toward that goal, then tell yourself that you're becoming that person. Make it public. If you're surrounded by supportive friends and family making their goals public and asking for accountability, do the same. You can be public by also joining a gym that has a friendly little competition or a group of Weight Watchers. Some of the experts in the article that I read actually decided to go public with their resolutions. So we mentioned Norcross. Norcross resolved to stop multitasking in 2020, and he has already started practicing during telephone interviews. He's just staying focused. Psychologist Lisa Damore, she's an author of Under Pressure About the Lives of Teenage Girls, plans to focus on meditating in 2020, despite having 2 children and a more than full-time career. I'm going to start a 5-minute meditation daily, she said. And she is going to, she's crediting James Clear with starting that in Atomic Habit. Thank you for that. Ruben is going to try to visit the Metropolitan Museum of Art every day. Her home is in Manhattan. It's only a few blocks away. Why not? What is one thing that you could add that you've always wanted to do? So many people think it has to be one huge thing. One undertaking that you've never done before. This is the year you're finally going to climb Mount Everest. It doesn't have to be that big. Think of breaking up your routine, adding something different, creating a new habit. All of those things are great. What about show, don't tell your children? Parents can open the door to a conversation with their children with resolutions by talking about their own reflections and hopes for a new year. This is a great way to really help children goal set, right? Early on, learning how to goal set and the importance of that. They can mention that it's hard to meet their own goals and that perfection is not the goal. Parents can bring up the changes they want to make and model how and when they want to make those changes. It's important to bring it up without criticizing, you know, without talking about yourself. Oh, I need to lose weight because I'm so fat and I'm unhealthy. It's important to stay positive. I would like to become more healthy, so I would like to lose a little weight. Or I would like to exercise because I want to be around forever to watch you grow and become a wonderful adult, right? With children under the age of 10, parents can take the lead in a discussion about where family members have room to grow. Once your children get to adolescence, don't give them any ideas. Parents should work with the assumption that no normally developing teenager wants to be told what to do. Boy, I can tell you this for fact. If the teenager is quietly doing the right thing and the parents suggest it, kids will likely stop doing it, right? If you say take the garbage out now, does it ever happen now? Now, if you wouldn't have said it, maybe if you said, hey, when you get a chance, can you take the garbage out? They probably would have taken it out right now. That was a hard lesson to learn. Most of how we guide young people is modeling the behaviors we want. If what you say and do don't match, a teenager will notice it and they will call you out on it, right? Change it up. Do you just hate the idea of a resolution for the entire year? Seeing an entire year of failure ahead of you? Follow in CNN features editor David Allen's footsteps. Set yourself a year of 12 monthly micro resolutions. In 2018, he eliminated one behavior each month. Think alcohol, sweets, screens around the kids, saying the word like, and noted the impact of his mood and the effect on himself and his family. It went so well this past year, he decided to add something to his life every month, like meditation, movement, active listening, and more sleep. Getting enough sleep didn't go so well for him on one month, so he swapped it out. He wrote his own rules so he could change them and therefore succeed. And you could do the same thing. Goals are important. Looking ahead and finding ways to improve, learn, and grow are all important. But goals shouldn't be only thought about or confined to the first quarter of every new year. However, breaking a big goal into quarters is an easy way to easily digest a major milestone. It's easy to get overwhelmed with your already busy 9-to-5 day-to-day by trying to find that time to improve yourself. But focusing on just 90 days at a time can seem more manageable. So pick a goal, something with a little more wiggle room that you can easily tweak, adjust, or clarify as you go. Then look at all the steps you need to go through to hit that goal. These could be logistical, financial, personal, or even emotional. Make a map for your plan of action and create quarterly milestones. Now you have a reasonable and achievable process with built-in destinations for celebrating your wins. Go you! Doesn't that feel good? It's important to find an accountability partner to give you constructive feedback while keeping you focused. Share your quarterly plan and then meet regularly to check your progress. Strategize to overcome any challenges and then modify the plan when appropriate. Oh yeah, and don't forget to celebrate with each other when milestones are met. That is so important. Matt is my accountability partner. I know that sounds sort of cliche, but he's great at helping me sculpt ideas. I can bring an idea because sometimes my mind can run crazy and I can be off all the way down the road without first thinking about all the steps in between, right? I've already bought the farm. But if I bring those ideas and I sort of lay out the plan, he's able to look and check and bring up really important things that I might have forgotten about. So don't think you have all the answers. Really find someone that is creative and attentive and also willing to be that partner for you. Hello Lovely says, celebrating your milestones is one of the biggest intrinsic motivators that can keep you energized and allow you to get closer to your goals. One of the main reasons we experience stress in achieving our goals is that we get overwhelmed by the larger ones. We don't plan for the smaller milestones or simply neglect to recognize and celebrate them as we go. This leads us straight into complete overwhelm because we're constantly looking at the big mountain that we still have yet to climb. Here are six ways in which celebrating your milestones can help you achieve your business goals. So beyond the resolution can be continuing the party. Number one, intrinsic motivation. Many studies have shown that we are much less likely to be motivated by extrinsic motivators or the carrot on the stick motivation technique. Our real drive comes from intrinsic motivation, knowing that we've accomplished something great and seen the results of our hard work. Breaking down larger goals and celebrating each milestone as it is complete can be a great source of motivation to continue to climb that mountain. Number two, filter out negative distractions. Oftentimes, along our journey towards reaching our goals, as time goes by, there can be many changes to our circumstances, and we may even lose sight of why we're working towards our particular goal in the first place. Milestones can be a great way to keep us on track and filter out any negative influencers that may deter us from our goal path. Short-term identifiable milestones can help remind us of the why. Why are we doing this? And can reiterate the importance of the path we are currently on. Hey, I've already thought this out. I have a clear path ahead of me. Say no to the naysayers. Banish overwhelm. Overwhelm is almost unavoidable. When all you have is a big, scary goal set out in front of you, it can make you feel like you've bitten off a little more than you can chew, and before you know it, you are drowning in overwhelm. Milestones help take your focus off that big mountain, and instead, it allows you to focus on smaller, more doable goal points. Achieving these milestones enable you to grow in self-confidence and banish that feeling of quitting. By eliminating the overwhelm, you can remain focused and level-headed about achieving your goal. Measure your progress. Another way to view progress is to see it as results. One of the greatest indicators of success is to look back on where you started, just to see how far you've come. Seeing your progress is a major motivator to continue on your path towards achieving your goal. What a fun thing to do when we do our year-end list. Boy, you can get so swept up with everything that you're doing day to day. You can really feel bogged down. But when you write all the things you've accomplished, all the things you've done at the end of a year, you can really celebrate. How about foster personal accountability? Along with measuring your progress, milestones can also indicate which areas of the plan need more focus and attention. This personal accountability creates a discipline in your methods and process, which allows you to grow. We oftentimes struggle with accountability in critical areas of our lives. Creating and practicing accountability with smaller, more manageable milestones can enable you to build healthy habits that will carry you through the larger areas of your life. Milestones also allow you for learning and reevaluating. Business and life are all about learning, growing, and of course, evolving. When dealing with life plans, business goals, things like that, we're often faced with challenging changes that can severely alter the course of our goal-setting plans. Learning to embrace flexibility and allow for time to reevaluate needs to take place. Oftentimes, our visions change, and we need to let go of certain goals in order to find new ones. It's important to know how to give in. Not necessarily give up, but give in. Maybe that goal wasn't quite right and you need to tweak it just a little bit for it to be more satisfying, more impactful, more meaningful. Be willing to throw in the towel when you need to reevaluate and adjust or re-engineer your plan. We are talking about beyond the resolution. We are in a new year, believe it or not. Can you believe it? The last one went by so fast. I swear to you, I just got down the Christmas and put it away, and I felt like I was doing it all over again. I know many of you probably feel the same way. And maybe you didn't get through all the goals and all the things that you wanted to do last year, and you're doing sort of a carryover. Is that you? Are you carrying things over from one year to the next? Well, guess what? That's okay. You can totally do that. Your goals are just that. They're your goals and they're your timelines. And if you choose to adopt a new resolution and you can't see it through, well, you know what? At least you tried. And maybe it wasn't the right goal or the right timing for you. So be kind to yourself. That's number one. Don't beat yourself up. I said in the first half, there is a lady out there that wants to lose 20 pounds. And if she doesn't by the end of the year, then everyone in her family gets $500. And I am still looking her up so that I can join her family. But I read a recent one online, and I just wanted to read it. I'm not going to give the name because I didn't quite get permission to give the name. But I want to read a little bit about this because I think it's awesome. And a lot of us feel the same way when we are facing all the things laying in front of us that we know we need to do. So she says, anyway, I'm not making resolutions this year because why set myself up for failure, right? Instead, I'm giving myself some much needed advice as I face turning 50. Number one, try to learn to say no. It is time for my life to slow down and focus more on getting my future set so that I may actually retire someday. So self, saying no is okay. Number two, work out more, eat better when I feel like it. Self, fat, thin, crabby, old, young, whatever. The people who love you through all of those aren't going anywhere because you gained 10 pounds and didn't share that entire apple pie. Enjoy life. It will eventually end regardless of all the things I forced myself through in the name of vanity or whatever. Number three, I should play more with my daughter. Before the time passes any more quickly than it has, and she doesn't want to play with me anymore. Number four, accept that a house can be a little messy without shame if it's filled with laughter. Number five, I should invite my babies individually to come sip coffee with me so I can take individual time to listen, to encourage, and to support their goals, whether I agree with them or not. I made my choices for my life. I should let them make theirs for theirs. Number six, I should see more of the people I miss, like my dad, my sister, my grandma, my aunt, to name just a few. It's so long between visits or just chats. Number seven, I should snuggle with my husband even more when he's blaring music I hate in his listening room and be thankful I have someone in my life who loves me on a daily basis through my moods, my weirdness, and gets on board with all my changes I make weekly. I'm putting this out there so as the years go on, my friends and family will hopefully periodically ask me if I'm taking my advice and learning to enjoy the life I've created instead of trying to hold myself to everyone else's standards of what life should be like. I hope all of you, Facebook land, and everyone have a wonderful year and can give yourself some advice about what's really important to you for you. Live, laugh, love, and peace. Just absolutely love that. Had to share that with you. What a wonderful perspective. Just a way to set some goals, some real goals, emotional goals, not just physical goals or financial goals, but real emotional goals. And then I like how she talked to herself and said, hey, it's okay. Be kind to yourself. You know, give yourself a break every now and then. Setting yourself up for failure means you're just going to beat yourself up. And who wants to do that? Does that make sense to you? How many times have you done that to yourself? How many times do you set a weight loss goal and then you just use it as a way to make yourself a punching bag? Oh, every day. I'm notorious for thinking I have to have like a whole week's head start. So if it is Monday or Tuesday and I have fallen off the wagon or eating sweets that I didn't mean to eat or I didn't go for a walk, I think, oh, you know what? Next Monday, I'll start again. Why do we do that? Why do we wait a whole week? Why do we think we need to set such a strict timeline? Why can't we just say, I would like to make better choices? Now, I know that sounds extremely subjective, but think about that. I'm going to try to do my best every day. I'm going to try to eat healthy. I'm going to try to move more consistently. I'm just going to try to be the best me every day. I think if we actually took a little time and said, my resolution is to start focusing on my own wants and needs and desires, I think we might see a much higher success rate. Because even though losing weight, working out, doing things like that seem like it's for us, a lot of times it's because of someone else. So we don't really take it seriously because it's not really our true passion or goal, right? Okay, I'm sure by now you are feverishly writing down your goals, your milestones, and even some pitfalls to be mindful for, but let's go back. The true inspiration for this topic beyond the resolution happened on New Year's Eve night. I want to go back to then. I want to go back to 11:58 p.m. on December 31st. When the music was picking up, people were getting closer together and glasses were being raised. I want to remember that feeling of accomplishment, of camaraderie, and of hope. We were celebrating together, whether at home or at a fancy party. We were all in sync, wishing our friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, and even strangers a Happy New Year, wishing them well, and encouraging them with the hope of a happy new year. How can we keep that same feeling of hope and love for our fellow human beings throughout the year? Beyond the resolution. At that moment, we weren't thinking of politics and how they divide us. We weren't thinking about religion and what defines us. We weren't thinking about race or gender and what separates us. We were thinking about hope and what binds us, what brings us all together, each and every one of us entitled to the same amount of hope. At that moment, through the excitement, it was natural, but to maintain that all-encompassing feeling throughout the year, you will have to be intentional. Each day, we're hit with joy-stealing, hope-crushing opposition. So, as you are creating your goals and developing your action plans, remember that feeling. When you're met with the ghost of the years past and all the things that you haven't done, the one that continues to divide, define, and separate us, remember that feeling. Together, we are so much stronger and productive. Hope exists to help motivate us to see opportunity, to believe in possibility, and to strive for better. Encouragement is the fuel. Tell someone they can do it. Tell them you believe in them. Tell them they deserve all life has to offer, and then some. Thank you so much for listening to Encouragementology tonight and going beyond the resolution with me. I know everybody has such high hopes for a new year. Just sort of seems like Jan 1, we're on our way, everything is possible again. At the end of the year, you know, we're wrapped up with the holidays and weather seems to be kind of crazy. This year actually it was great, but we're putting away all the extra spending and extra eating, and we're just trying to clear the air. We talked about a lot of different things, and one of the things we talked about is just the percentage of failures in keeping a New Year's resolution. That was could have been somewhat deterring for you, but then we talked about with a solid foundation and a solid plan, you know, really understanding, putting your sights on where you're going, chopping up that goal into many milestones that you can celebrate, how you can get this intrinsic motivation. You know, and it starts with it being your goal, your resolution. not something that you're doing because you feel the pressure to do so, or you feel like this is what everybody wants you to do, right? Those are never successful. So it starts with really connecting with your resolution. It has to be something that you want to do. And if you start out with this great idea and it goes awry because maybe it is the wrong thing, how you can easily tweak that. Doesn't mean that's it, throw in the towel, you're over. But you can throw in the towel on this particular idea and pick a new one. You know, why keep pushing a circle into a square or a square into a circle? Why not pick something that really is advantageous for you and helps you feel successful and it impacts your life? Now, one of the ideas on there was definitely finding more time to give back. We didn't really get into that tonight, but such a great one. Boy, so much energy and motivation comes from helping other people. So if you've always wanted to do that, but your schedule hasn't allowed, maybe look at your schedule this year and make that part of your resolution. How can you carve out a little more time or someone else, and someone that really needs your help? A lot of times we are a little bit of a busybody and we're in everybody else's business trying to control everything, whether it's family, friends, loved ones. But maybe we need to turn the tides and capture that energy and put it into more of a successful avenue, right? Somebody that really needs the help. How important is that? So I talked about not only creating a good solid foundation, but start writing down some of the things you've already accomplished. That can give you some good fuel, good motivation. When you see that you've already gotten a head start, oh, look at all this stuff I did last year. I'm going to write all that down, and that's going to give me all that extra motivation to go into the new year, right? Build on top of those things. Instead of starting something from scratch, maybe you've already accomplished much more than you were aware of. We also talked about making it public, you know, involving an accountability partner. That's so great. Don't keep all this to yourself. Even the funny stuff, you know, if you have somebody that's really in it for you, that's not going to be judgy, but is really going to be somebody to give you constructive criticism and help you grow, then it can be fun. You know, when you get together, have a coffee, catch up, and really discuss what went wrong, what might be your challenges, how you can rewrite this course. That can be some fun, and you can help each other. And even when you think that you're taking, a lot of times through your goals, you can help someone else. So don't keep it all to yourself. Also, lead by example. You know, if you still have little ones at home or even older ones, being a model of inspiration is so important. And use that as a learning lesson. You know, this is why I'm doing this, or this is why it's important. And this is what's important about goals. And I love the one that perfection is not what we're striving for. I think in this day and age with young adults, we really have to hone that in. It's not about perfection. It's about being the best you that you can possibly be. And please, please don't forget that feeling of camaraderie, the feeling of encouraging another human being, slapping high five, hugging, this is going to be the best year yet. Don't forget that feeling. It's so, so important. So I challenge you, remember those feelings that unite us instead of those that divide us. Harness the excitement of a new year full of possibilities and use it as fuel to get over the hump of self-doubt. Reach out when you need encouragement and inspiration. You might just be that for someone else. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Someone threw until the path was clear.